It's about 2:30, and this is Barbara Ridenour, returning with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated May 6, 2016. We'll finish with the On Biz that I left off with before the break. Dollar General will celebrate the recent opening of its new store at 780 North Sunnyside Road with prizes and special deals starting at 8 a.m. Saturday, May 7th. Hours are 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. daily. For more information, visit www.dollargeneral.com or call 217-615-0874. That's 615-0874. Consolidated Communications Holdings Incorporated has entered into an agreement to acquire Champaign Telephone Company and its sister company, Big Broadband Services, a private business communications provider in the Champaign-Urbana area. Consolidated President and Chief Executive Officer Bob Udell said that the acquisition will add 275 fiber route miles and a 310 fiber lit buildings to the Mattoon-based company's fiber network, which extends to Champaign. Udell said this acquisition is a great fit for Consolidated's focus on expanding its fiber network and commercial services. Champaign Telephone Company began in 1984 as a small PBX provider and has grown into a regional provider of Internet, Voice, Metro Ethernet, and hosted VoIP services. Consolidated also entered into an agreement with Mutual Telephone Company, of Sioux Center, Iowa, and Winnebago Cooperative Telecom Association to divest its Heartland Telecommunications Company of Iowa in order for Consolidated to focus on its core regions. Now we'll turn to the obituary page. Beverly Bell, 56, of Oakley, died Tuesday, May 3rd, 2016. Massive Christian burial will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, May 7th, at St. Patrick Catholic Church, 407 East El Dorado Street, Decatur. Visitation will be from 6 to 8 p.m. today, May 6th, at the Moran and Goble Funeral Home. Burial will be at Friends Creek Cemetery in Argenta. Memorials may be made to the National MS Society. William R. Lawyer, 81, of Decatur, died Saturday, April 30th, 2016. Mass of Christian burial was at 11 a.m. today in Holy Family Catholic Church. Visitation was 1 hour before services in the church. Burial is in Point Pleasant Cemetery. Arrangements are by Moran and Goble Funeral Home. Memorials may be made to the American Heart Association. Dr. Robert Bob Joseph Roma, 75, of Decatur, died Thursday, May 5th, 2015. Funeral liturgy will be held at 2 p.m. Sunday, May 8th, in Moran and Goble Funeral Home. Memorials may be made to St. Jude's Children Research Hospital or American Macular Degeneration Foundation. Paul F. Skelly, 86, of Decatur, died Wednesday, May 4th, 2016. Mass of Christian burial will be held at 11 a.m. Monday, May 9th, in Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church. Visitation will be 1 hour prior to the Mass in the church. Burial will follow in Boiling Springs Cemetery with military rites, conducted by the Macon County Honor Guard. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church or DMH Palliative Care and Hospice. The family is served by Moran and Goble Funeral Home and Cremation Services of Decatur. This is Claudia Quigg for the Herald and Review. Claudia Quigg, learning to listen from the best. This column lands somewhere between a tribute and a love letter to my mentor and dear friend, Dr. T. Barry Brazelton. Barry will turn 98 this week, reveling with the same brilliance and sparkle he had he has celebrated 97 birthdays before. Barry is world renowned for his astonishing career achievements. Professor Emeritus of Pediatrics at Harvard Medical School, he founded the Child Development Unit at Boston Children's Hospital. His decades of clinical research have resulted in the publication of more than 200 scholarly papers and more than 30 books on child development. His charismatic personality draws children, parents, and professionals to him, eager to connect with his passionate positivity. It's no wonder he even won an Emmy for his long-running television program, What Every Baby Knows. I remember initially learning about Barry when, as a young mom and early childhood educator, I first read his book, Infants and Mothers, Differences in Development. I was thrilled to learn that not only were babies recognized as unique from one another, but that there was also a science that supported our understanding of those differences. In my mind, Barry's most important contribution has been to learn to really look at a young mind and to bring many along with him on that journey. Barry has taught me and thousands of others to observe purposefully in order to listen to what a child is telling us by his behavior. His neonatal behavior assessment scale, NBAS, or the Brazelton, assesses the individual attributes of newborns, identifying strength, responses, availability for interaction, and possible vulnerabilities. An adaptation, the newborn behavioral observation, is used with parents to understand more about their newborn and to support their parent-child connection. If anyone has reason to claim the title of expert, it's Barry Brazelton. Instead, he chooses to use his deep knowledge to facilitate children and parents telling their stories, honoring their expertise. He recognizes and affirms the competencies infants bring into the world with them and that parents bring to their babies. The work of using the behavior of children as the professional's language with parents led to the development of the touch points approach, which taught by Brazelton Touch Points Center at Boston Children's. Touch Points trains professionals in the fields of health, medicine, family support, and early childhood education into being more impactful in their work with families. Touch Points was born about 10 years after Baby Talk, and the two programs were natural partners from the beginning. Baby Talk already employed a relational approach, but benefited from some of the science behind understanding child behavior. Our colleagues at the Brazelton Touchpoint Center have taught us a great deal, becoming trusted friends and collaborators. Barry's insatiable curiosity has led him to work in many countries around the globe to understand how culture and biology account for differences in children and families. His amazing career has been described in his latest book, a memoir entitled Learning to Listen, A Life Caring for Children. While Barry certainly earns some leisure, he has no plans to retire. His enthusiasm is ignited by every new infant, child, parent, or professional he meets. He remains a tireless advocate for families, even recently honored at the White House for his influential contributions. For me, Barry is a dear friend and role model who has changed me profoundly. I will forever be grateful that he has helped me and many others learn and listen. Everywhere a plant sale. A home and garden. Four annual events converge this weekend. A group of Macon County master gardeners potted so much false primrose and false sunflower earlier this week, Verlin Rosenberger of Decatur felt compelled to check how her co-workers were labeling the wild gingers she'd bought. "You don't write false ginger, do you?" she asked. Joyce Smitkamp, also of Decatur, remarked that it smelled good enough to eat. "Can you cook with it?" she asked. The answer to both their questions was no. Yet if anyone were to ask if there's a plant sale in Decatur this weekend, the answer would be yes, 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 and yes. The earliest possible arrival of Mother's Day this month has caused the community's four annual plant sales to converge on one weekend. The Decatur Park District actually began their sale last weekend, but it continues Friday and Saturday and coincides with one by Richland Community College, each traditionally held Mother's Day weekend. The Garden Club of Decatur and Macon County Master Gardeners, whose tradition is to have their sales on the first Saturday in May, join in this Saturday. David McLaughlin, professor of horticulture at Richland, predicts the confluence will make Decatur a destination for plant buyers and that all the sales will do well. We should have something for everyone, he said. The Macon County Master Gardeners certainly will, if their preparations this week at the Macon County Fairgrounds were any indication. Beth Allhands, coordinator of the Master Gardener program for the University of Illinois Extension, said that the group has a significant number of native plants this year, along with milkweed seed. She added that the selection of herbs will be larger than usual. 100 hosta varieties will be available, and the stock of heirloom tomatoes will be 400 plants. Proceeds go toward scholarships for students to study horticulture at Richland Community College, and as do those from Garden Club of Decatur's plant sale. Fran Jones, chairwoman of the event, said a bake sale, gloves, and other garden accessories will be among the Garden Club highlights. Many of our members are also master gardeners, she said. McLaughlin said that among the more usual flowers at Richland this year were black magic petunias and dark purple calabrachoa, plus a variety of vegetables, everything grown locally. Proceeds benefit Parkland Student Farms, which also donates plants to the Garden Club's plant sale every year. Everything ties in together pretty nicely, he said. I think everybody wins from all the plant sales. So, plant sales. Richland Community College, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. today, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday at the Horticulture Building, 1 College Park. Decatur Park District, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. today and Saturday, Schaub Floral Display Center, 3415 East Lost Bridge Road. Garden Club Decatur, 8:30 to 10:30 a.m. Saturday, Riverside Baptist Church, 1250 West Mound Road. And Macon County Master Gardeners, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday, 4-H Foundation Building, Macon County Fairgrounds. Now we'll turn to the opinion page and continue with letters to the editor. Dems seek to control thought on warming. Remember how the Democrats used the Internal Revenue Service to harass conservative organizations seeking nonprofit status? Part of that harassment included demands for lists of the donors to those organizations. In some cases, the IRS got that information, resulting in those donors being attacked by progressive Democrat groups. Another group of Democrats are reviving that method of thought control. A dozen or more Democrat states' attorney generals, AGs, are suing some nonprofits for expressing opinions on global warming, global climate change that run counter to the current religious-like dogma of the administration. These AGs are requesting donor lists as well. Should they be successful in obtaining those lists, it is reasonable to assume that attacks on those donors would soon follow. On a side note, Earth's climate has been cycling between hot and cold for millennia, way before the Democrats discovered the political value of the process. As for the public's critical thinking about global warming, climate change, it seems that the Democrats have not been all that successful to date in dimming the brains of the populace. Thus, the government's political need to control thought and opinion using organized insults and legal action. The Democrats' current attack on freedom of speech and thought reminds one of George Orwell's novel 1984, wherein government used coercive means to control everything, including history and thought. It seems that the efforts of today's Democrats are proving Orwell to be prophetic. Should Mrs. Clinton gain the presidency with Democrat control of Congress and the Supreme Court, we can expect further encroachment of our freedoms to the point where our Constitution becomes nothing more than an interesting historical document. Signed, Robert Muth, Decatur. Lakeshore Drive was never a dangerous road. Listening to the park districts talking about the danger of having Lakeshore Drive open going into Nelson Park, I thought the street must have been the inspiration for the for a sci-fi movie, Death Race 2000. I have driven on Lakeshore for years and never saw anyone driving even near 50 miles an hour. There are almost no side streets, and the road has never had a history of bad accidents. As for the jogger agreeing with them now how much safer she felt, I am sure this is true. However, city streets were built for cars, not joggers. If the park district has made us all so much safer by barricading the street, I guess the next stop would be for them to barricade all the city streets to make us and the joggers safer. The original reason given was with their grandiose plan to build an amphitheater. There is no chance in the foreseeable future for any money coming from the state. Let's reopen the road so people can again take this scenic drive. If the board will not do this, Bob Riley has given the alternative. Quote, until this board changes, end quote. Signed, Bill Steenblok, Decatur. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Thumbs up to the Decatur Park District for offering a chance for local athletes to learn the sport of lacrosse. The Park District is sponsoring the city's inaugural lacrosse league, and about 80 athletes between the ages of 8 and 15 have signed up to try out the sport. The league is focusing on the basics as both coaches and players learn how the game is played. Thumbs up to Macon County Sheriff Tom Schneider for going the extra mile to honor a Vietnam War veteran. Roger Randall lost his dog tags while hunting in 1971. Those dog tags were recently found. Schneider not only returned the dog tags to Randall, he added a plaque with those words, "Your dog tag may have been lost, your service was never forgotten." That's an impressive gesture by Schneider. Thumbs up to the Decatur City Council for considering a residency requirement for city employees. The proposed resolution will be considered on May 16th. The resolution would not be binding for employees covered by union contracts, but would require new hires not represented by a union to live within the city limits. It also would give city administration direction on discussing residency requirements with the unions that represent employees. City employees should live in the city they serve, if at all possible. Thumbs up to Ronald Blaylock II for being committed enough to show up for his Macon County court date that he traveled from Normal to Decatur by horse. Blaylock and Rooster took the better part of 2 days to get to Decatur and another 2 days to return home, but Blaylock dealt with the court issue stemming from driving on a suspended license. We admire his willingness to deal with the court issues, especially when so many skip their court dates at the most minor inconvenience. Thumbs up to the Decatur Public Library for extending its hours. The library will now be open from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, adding some of the hours that were curtailed during the library's budget issues in 2013. The return of the hours indicates that the library budget is on a more solid footing, which is good news for everyone. Thumbs up to the annual lullaby concert held by Baby Talk with performances by members of the Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra. This year's concert was significant because it will be the last one for Michael Luxner, director of the orchestra, and Claudia Quigg, Baby Talk founder and executive director. Luxner is retiring at the end of the spring semester, and Quigg is retiring at the end of the year. Dear Abby, funerals for closeted friends could be awkward for gay man. Dear Abby, I am a gay man in my early 60s. I have been fortunate to live pretty openly despite being stuck in a small conservative southern town. Many guys I have gotten to know over the years are not so lucky, due to being married, afraid for their careers, etc. As a result, many of them lead double lives with their true orientation known only to other gays. When one of these acquaintances passes away, should I attend the funeral services to pay my respects, even though I might not have known anyone else in the family? Or should I stay away to keep tongues from wagging and asking, "How did Sam know that guy?" Signed, Circumspect in the South. Dear Circumspect, not everyone who attends a funeral is an intimate friend of the deceased. Some of them are people who knew the person from a distance and admired what he or she accomplished in life. If you feel the need to go to a funeral, by all means do. But have an answer prepared in case you're asked questions like, "How did you know Bob?" is a common and innocent one. Bad mattress. Dear Abby, a couple of months after moving in with my boyfriend, I've realized that his mattress is not a good fit for me. He says it's 12 years old and it still has 10 to 15 years left in it. Every day I wake up with an aching, stiff back. I have a job that keeps me standing all day, so my back pain is starting to affect my performance. I like living with him, but how can I get him to replace the mattress? It seems he's chosen the mattress over me, so I guess I'll start sleeping on the floor. Signed, Sleepy in St. Louis. Dear Sleepy, according to the website of one of the top mattress manufacturers, the average lifespan of a quality mattress is between 8 and 10 years. Mattresses older than that can suffer from deteriorating comfort features and diminished support capabilities. Many consumers wait too long to replace their mattresses. If you wake up in the morning not feeling refreshed and rejuvenated, or feeling pain or discomfort, then it's time to replace this one. So talk with your boyfriend again. If he's not willing to invest in a replacement, suggest buying a firm mattress topper or even splitting the cost of a new mattress. A restful night's sleep is essential for good health. If you are unable to convince him, then you may have moved in with him too quickly. And we have time to read a little bit from Decatur Tribune Online. Paul Osborne's City Beat. Thanks to Private Citizen, City of Decatur, there's a new handicap parking space on Merchant Street. It's not often that you will see a photo of a handicap parking space head a column, but several downtown people have mentioned to me about the fairly new space on Merchant Street. I even made a special trip, it's only a block away from my office, to shoot a photo of the space. What makes the photo so special is that the space is the result of a citizen, Betty Wheatley, noticing that there was a need for a handicap space on the street and in a couple of other downtown places, and writing the city about her concerns. That was back in January. When she got no response in what she thought was a reasonable amount of time, she sent me a copy of the letter and I printed it in the Tribune. She then heard from the city, and it was indicated that two of her three requests would be implemented. The city indicated that one of her requests could not be implemented, but Betty seemed pleased that two of the spaces would be added. I wrote about her efforts a couple of times in earlier editions. Kudos to Betty for her efforts and the city of Decatur for working with her to make a downtown parking change that was needed. Everyone who was mentioned, the city's new space to me also mentions Betty's efforts that were detailed in this newspaper. I really like the message of cooperation between private citizens and city government to accomplish something that people not only appreciate because it was needed, but a greater lesson that it taught. A private citizen's persistence will usually get results. Betty indicated to me last week that she is happy with the Merchant Street handicap space, but is still awaiting for the one next to Bijou on the corner. The third request was logical, but would cost money for repainting, so I accept that. Obviously, the one on Merchant Street was needed, as it has been in use each time I've gone there. Way to go, Betty and City of Decatur. It has to officially be spring. The Central Park fountain is on. It was so nice to walk through Central Park the other day and see the fountain fully operational. Excuse me. I love seeing and hearing the waterfalls and sprays, the sounds of warm weather. Starting the Central Park fountain is something like moving the Santa's house in Central Park in the fall and winter, when it's a sure sign that Christmas is on the way. When the fountain starts running in the spring, regardless of the temperature, spring has officially hit Central Park. Welcome to Decatur, spring. The writer had just a few city government facts wrong. Facebook is a source of information and also a source of misinformation. It also shows that some people who made comments about city government or other public bodies don't have a clue about what they are writing. A real classic example of what was a Facebook post that I read not long ago, which commented about City Manager Tim Gleason's firing of former Police Chief Brad Sweeney, a matter that is still playing out in court. The Facebook writer, who shall remain nameless because I don't want to embarrass her more than she embarrassed herself, came out strong against the city manager, stating that first he fired the police chief and then he fired Superintendent of Schools Lisa Taylor. She warned Mayor Julie Moore Wolfe that she had better watch her backside. I'm cleaning up the language here because Gleason would be the neck, would be, because Gleason could be getting rid of her next. Well, I'm sure most of you know that the city manager did not fire the superintendent of schools, nor does he have any authority over the school board. Also, it would be impossible for Gleason to fire the mayor because the mayor and the city council members are elected by the public. Plus, Gleason works for the mayor and council. He serves at their pleasure, and if they don't like the job he's doing, they can fire him. Well, at least the Facebook writer had one of the three facts right. Gleason did fire the police chief. Having written that, I wonder how many people who read her comments actually believed them because they don't know any more about the city government than the writer did. A lot of Facebook posts remind me of the story I used before about gossip. A lady was sharing a lot of gossip on the phone with a friend, and she suddenly said, "I have to hang up. I've already told you more than I heard." That pretty well sums it up, doesn't it? Facebook is great for seeing photos of family members and what they're doing, but not so great as a reliable source for accurate comments about what is going on in city government. Everyone is free to express their opinion, but it would be nice to know the comments expressed were based on facts. Crossing Healthcare Garden Planting Day, May 12th. Healthcare Gardens, a partnership between Crossing Healthcare, Mercy Gardens with Good Samaritan Inn, is hosting a planting day on Thursday, May 12th, 2016, from 9 a.m. to noon. Volunteers in the community are welcome to attend Planting Day. Located on the corner of East Central Avenue and North Warren Street, across from the main entrance of Crossing Healthcare, Crossing Healthcare Gardens will improve accessibility in an otherwise urban food desert and will increase access to fresh produce for Crossing Healthcare patients and residents of Decatur and Macon County. As a community healthcare organization, Crossing Healthcare is committed to giving our patients access to the tools, including fresh produce, they need to live healthier lives, said Dana Ray, MD, Crossing Healthcare Chief Medical Officer. To offer that right across the street is an amazing opportunity for our patients and the entire community. The produce harvested from the garden will be available to patients, community members, and employees in a variety of ways. The providers at Crossing Healthcare will be able to write a prescription for fresh produce to patients who will in turn redeem their prescription at the Crossing Healthcare Gardens across the street. A farmer's market during harvest season will take WIC vouchers, link, or WIC vouchers, link, SNAP benefits, debit and credit cards, and cash to help make the healthy choice the easy choice. Incentive programs and educational programs, dietitian-led produce-to-table classes, and money-saving programs will be made available to patients of Crossing Healthcare. To find out more about Crossing Healthcare Gardens Planting Day, including how to volunteer, call Crossing Healthcare at 217-877-9117. That's 877-9117. That's all we have time for today's Decatur Herald and Review and Decatur Tribune Online. This is for May 6th, 2016. This is Barbara Ridenour. I look forward to reading with you again soon. Have a great weekend and a week to follow.